Father, we thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. We thank you we can come just and rejoice. We rejoice in your faithfulness, Lord, and thank you for testimonies of your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that we can just come together as a family and celebrate your goodness in our lives, Lord. And this morning we want to thank you even for the weekend past, Lord, for the camp that we had together. We thank you for every seed of the word that was planted, Lord. We thank you for every heart that was changed, Lord, every life that was touched, God. We thank you that for your presence in that place, Lord. And we thank you even for the momentum and the spirit, Lord, and your word that you spoke over us as a family. And we receive that, Father. And we thank you for it, Lord. And we celebrate your goodness. And we want to just stand still this morning. We thank you, God, for that amazing weekend. We thank you that we could meet with you there, Lord. And we thank you just for just so much that it represents in terms of where you're taking us, Lord, and what you've prepared, and how we can partner with you in seeking your kingdom in this nation, Father, in the nations of the world. We just want to, we praise your name. And even as we come into the word this morning, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you direct us, Lord. You lead us into all truth. And we come with expectation this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one that breathes life into us, Lord, as we submit ourselves to your word. We thank you that we can ask that every seed planted this morning will bear good fruit in our lives, and fruit that will bring glory to your name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, let me just this thing right here. All right. I had a few things in my heart after a weekend last weekend to kind of not careful not to say too much about everything, but we're going to make the sessions available as soon as possible. We have to just convert them in a different format at the moment, and I want to really encourage you, if you weren't able to be there or if you missed some of the sessions, to really try and catch up as many as possible, especially the Monday morning session of Lucille. Very key session for us as a body, and just our mandate here. I'll mention a little bit about that this morning, but it'll be great if everybody can have a listen to that. But we'll put them on the web as soon as possible. If the quality isn't great, we might have to do it in a different way, but we'll wait to know what's happening. Okay. And then, in any case, while I'm like kind of sorting through the thoughts and ideas and things on my heart, I came across this quote. And it kind of pulled things together quite nicely. So I'm going to start with this quote from Bill Johnson. He says, "Jesus served with the heart of a king, but ruled with the heart of a servant. Royalty is my identity. Servanthood is my assignment. Intimacy with God is my life source. So before God, I'm intimate. Before people, I'm a servant. Before the powers of hell, I'm a ruler, with no tolerance for the influence. Wisdom knows which role to fulfill at the proper time." He touches on something very key, I believe, in terms of our identity in Christ and those many things there. But one thing that I've noticed, as his believers, we've heard that we are called to rule with Christ. We've heard that we are sons of God and daughters of God, children of God. We know all these things that he says here, we're kind of familiar with, but to actually know how they fit together and how different roles, but different aspects of who we are and how they come into play in our daily lives are kind of quite important. So I'm just going to touch on a few of these three main things that he mentions here, and we're going to look at those three aspects. Firstly, our identity in Christ. In Galatians 3:26, Paul writes, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And this is this is not exclude the ladies. Okay, this talks about being a child of God, being an heir of God, and Paul actually mentions that in Romans 8:16-17, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." So we need to see here that the powerful affirmation of the Father to us saying, I don't call you slaves. You're not hirelings. You are sons and daughters in the house of God. You're sons in the house. I'm just going to talk about sons. It includes everybody. Okay, you're sons in the house of God. And not only that, not only children, he says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of the inheritance that we have in Christ. Heirs of the promises of God. And so much is encapsulated there. But powerful affirmation. And that is the massive, that transformation, that exchange that we have to keep in mind that happened at the cross. We literally put on the cloak that Christ made that exchange. And he took our sin upon himself. He took our sinful nature, our sin and our shame, and that filthy garment in the Spirit. He took it upon himself and he gave us the cloak of the Son of the King of Kings. And that, and with that, the identity of the Son of God and a child of God. So that is where we start from. We start from that revelation that we are no longer under sin and shame. We're no longer under the law of death and sin and death. But we are now, we've come into Christ. We've put on Christ through the waters of baptism, and we've clothed in Him. And that is from that point that we operate in the Spirit. It's from that point that we recognize and specifically here that we walk in the identity as sons and daughters of God, bought free. I'm not going to go into the detail now, but heirs of God and co-heirs, joint heirs with Christ. And then specifically from there on, we come into the place of the understanding of the authority that comes with that position in Christ. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus says to the disciples, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So with the authority, with the sonship and with the royal robe that we have received at the cross that exchanges this place, we have also received delegated authority. Authority over serpents and scorpions. And, you know, the scripture also says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And often, you know, what does it mean? I know, how does it practically, how do I live that out of a thing? But it speaks of our place of authority in the Spirit. We are called to rule and reign with Christ from that place of being seated with Him in heavenly places. And, you know, it's a bit of a, I don't know, often I suppose it's a bit of a abstract concept, you know, how am I seated in heavenly places? How does it work day to day? And it's key here that we understand we are not necessarily always called to rule over other people. Okay, we get to our relationship to other people. We're going to get to that now. Although that will happen from time to time, obviously in our different functional capacities. But we are called to rule and reign in the spirit realm. Okay, and that's what's so powerful about what happened on the weekend when we baptized those ladies, is now that the whole of the spirit realm knows that those two ladies that were baptized, and if you and I were baptized, the same thing, this massive declaration that has happened in the spirit, and every demon knows, and every angel knows, and the whole of the spiritual realm knows, okay, they are with Christ, they are in Christ. Now they have made a very clear declaration on whose side they're on, and whose authority they're under, and in whose authority they operate as well. So when we are baptized, when we put on Christ, that's part of the declaration we make, but we then stand in the delegated authority that we have through the blood of Jesus. And it is in that authority that we rule and reign in the spiritual realm. And so key for us, and it's part of what Lucille was saying, is that a mandate that God has given us specifically as a church is one of intercession. Very strongly from the beginning, this intercession has been a key part of who we are as a family. And I want to encourage us to, we'll have another prayer and fast weekend probably at the end of this month or beginning of October. I'll let you know the dates. But I want to encourage you guys. We the Friday morning prayer, I don't know, we'd have to try and find a time that works for everybody. Or we have to maybe do, well, we might do another time as well. Maybe there's a different time. We can do two. But we do, at the moment, we're doing 4 to 6 on Friday mornings. If that's not early enough, if you need to already be on the train, then you must just let me know. We can make it earlier. But I don't know if later will work. But no, guys, I want to re-encourage you. Even before, Sundays before church, normally about an hour before, there's prayer happening in the Oasis room. And this is such a key part of our mandate, and I want to really encourage you to listen to the soul session if you haven't. To really come to grips with, okay, we're in this body, we're part of this family, we're called to rule and reign in the spiritual realm, and a part of our mandate here is to war in the spirit and to really stand in the gap for this nation. And there's such a powerful word that came through on the camp at the intercession there. And it's basically, or was it an intercession or at the service? I can't remember. But there was a word that the Lord is shaping us and is making us like an arrow to hit a very specific target. Let me just actually read, I made a note of that. And basically very, very clearly saying that he's called us to stand in the gap on behalf of the body of Christ in the nation. And to pray not only for us in our little area, but to pray for the body in the United Kingdom. And shaping us as an arrow, and then specifically the Ezekiel type anointing as well. And then there was a picture of and a clear word of us praying and trusting God for those wells to open up. The wellsprings of salvation, those wells Pastor Fred was talking about, all over the nation. So I don't know what that's going to mean for us practically, or whether we're going to probably hopefully get to a place where we'll go actually send teams out and go to different places in the nation and to go and pray. But a really powerful word that came through and kind of affirming that yes, we've been called to intercede. We've been called to stand in the gap on behalf of our nation, on behalf of the body of Christ in this nation. So we're gonna pray through what that means practically, and we're gonna trust God for strategy and direction. But I want to really encourage you to embrace that. And the thing is, not all of us here feel we're called to be major intercessors, and you know, you don't feel the burden to wake up at 3 a.m. and to pray, anything like that. Fred mentioned this lady in India that is an intercessor, and she, although she is able to, she refuses to sleep on a mattress because she doesn't want to get too comfortable that if the Lord wants to wake her up at night to pray, that she won't, she doesn't want to sleep too deeply, that the Lord can't wake her up, so she sleeps on the floor, on a little mat. So she's made peace with the call as an intercessor. So I respect that not all of us receive that kind of call of intercession. But the amazing thing is that because it is a mandate that God has given us as a body, there's a grace and an anointing that comes with that. And I want to really encourage you, even if it's not your natural thing, to trust God to grow in it, to grow in walking in this authority. Even if you start in a small group, reach out in small groups, we can obviously pray for those specific areas and specific outreaches that we're going to do, and that's going to take a lot of intercession. Amen. So that's exciting, and for us to really take all of that mandate and run with that. Okay, so that's our identity in Christ and our mandate to rule in the Spirit. So when it comes to operating in the Spirit, in terms of we are royalty. You know, you don't have to be afraid. We don't operate in fear. We don't operate in timidity. We operate in meekness. But in meekness means a great authority under perfect control. So great power and great authority under control. So Jesus is a perfect picture of meekness. Jesus on the cross, having the power and authority to call down fire and angels and whatever, and just but knowing what his role is, knowing what his responsibility is, and the purpose of God was in the situation. And that's what God called us to, a place of meekness, saying, okay, this is what God has called us to do, and we walk in it, in the authority of God that God has given us. So when you pray for your place where you live or your place where you work, understand that because we are in Christ, we are royal. We are royalty in the Spirit. You can come. We can come with the boldness. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to ask for, you know, be apologetic to any powers or principalities in that area. If that is the area that God has entrusted to you, then you can take authority there. The other day we went to pray at somebody's house, and it's such a blessing. They've been experiencing a lot of heaviness and all kinds of things since moving there, and we just explained some hard works. It was there in Rains Park, in the Wimbledon side, and it's such a blessing just to say, okay guys, this is your place, this is your home, and let's just trust God to take authority here. And the Lord immediately showed us, okay, look at that. And we didn't, you know, we prayed for certain things in the Spirit, but even as we were praying, the Lord even laid some things on the lady's heart in terms of even items in the house that she needed to get rid of. And there was this little African wooden, you know, those things you buy at the Kira shops, little African wooden little figurine. And so she felt, no, that thing must go. So we agreed. Because often those don't come alone. They come with all kinds of visitors. So we decided we're going to just cancel any curse, and we took it out, and then we decided we have to break off the head. But it's sturdier than you think. It's quite strong wood. So I couldn't break it. So I put it against the wall, and I broke it like with my heel, which is biblical, you know. Crush, you know. But then it hurt my foot. Because I got it here on the soft, in the middle part. So I was like, the next day my foot is like sore. And I was like, what is that? So then I remembered, I said, oh, that little thing got its last little. Okay, so we dealt with that. It was the last pain that it dealt out. So that was the end of that. But amazing how we just chatted with them the other day again. And they said, it's really a shift. And many of the things we prayed through, they could say, yes, we've experienced that. We've experienced that anxiety. We've experienced different things. And the key here, guys, is that we walk into that role. It's one of those, if you don't take authority, there's something else that's going to be in authority. If you and I don't step into that place, something else is going to step into that place. Okay. Amen. Then let's look at Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And then let's also read from Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And we've been talking about what it means to serve one another. We've been talking about what it means to walk in a love that not only is a kind of feel-good love, but we've talked about a little bit of accountability in the last few weeks. But here again, when we come into our relationship with people and our mandate and our assignment towards people, God calls us to be servants. And this is, I think, often where we get it wrong. We're royalty, and we're the sons and daughters of God, and we are called to rule and reign. And then we think this is we rule over people. But no, we're called to lead people. But it's the leadership that Christ demonstrated, and that's that of a servant leader. That leader that in so powerfully demonstrated on the cross, where he laid down his life for us. And so, yes, we have authority. Yes, we are sons and daughters of God. Yes, we are royalty. But when it comes to people, we serve. We serve in the love of God. We serve in the following the example that Jesus Christ demonstrated so powerfully. And so this is also in terms of what we've been looking at on the camp, and in terms of our mandate. This is how we reach out. This is how we approach what God has called us to do. Not out of a place of, yes, we're the best, and yes, God has chosen us, but out of a place of, how can I serve you in the love of God? And I reckon this distinction is quite important to make. I rule in the Spirit, and in the Spirit, you know, I don't take any nonsense, and we take out the demons, and whatever, we do what God chose us to do. Please remember that when you do take authority in the Spirit, don't go beyond your mandate. Okay, don't go beyond what God has called us to do. Okay, if we, your home, yes, you can take charge there. Your workplace, the area that God has entrusted, or your small group is, but don't, when you're on holiday somewhere, don't take on the big chief principality over New York, or even London for that matter. Okay, that's just an aside. Just walk in that meekness. Okay, God, what are you telling me to do now? So yes, we do walk in that authority, but that is not to take out or to kind of be to lord it over people. So when we come into a relationship with other with people, think servanthood. The blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of God. That is how we operate towards other people. And this is such a blessing when we look at, you know, outreach. Often when we talk about outreach, people get nervous. People talk about evangelism. People think, ah, I can't do that. It's impossible. It's, you know, I'm not like that. But if we go from a point of view, how can I serve somebody with the love of Jesus? It doesn't mean you have to be hot on apologetics or anything like that. But if, like Franz was sharing, we led by love, you can't go wrong. Okay? We led by love and a desire to serve someone in the love of Christ, can't go wrong. So when you guys are discussing and we're chatting through the outreach strategies for the home groups, let this thing guide us. How can we serve? How can we serve our community with the love of Jesus? And there's always two ways, two kind of legs that we look at. One is the community as a whole. You know, maybe we should go and bless the local policeman or something, that, you know, bless the community or whatever. But then the one is, okay, we want to serve people with the focus and direction of, we want to build relationship with people. We want to serve them with the love of Jesus, and we want to disciple them. And that's also serving. And so there's always those two. So let us imitate Christ in that way. Although he walked in meekness, and although, you know, when it came to getting rid of demons, didn't flinch, you know, didn't think twice. But in terms of people, he'd always had time, even for the children. Yeah, that servant attitude and serving, so he came to serve us to the point of death and laying down his life. And it's so powerful here where it speaks of us. It says here, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. That when we serve others in the love of Christ, that's when Jesus and God is glorified. And it's like a sweet smelling aroma to him. It's worship unto God when we serve others in the love of Jesus. Then we get to the important bit. Psalm 84 verse 10, David writes, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." And then Psalm 51, 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." And this is the place from which we operate. We operate in authority of God. We operate under the standing of our identity in Christ. We walk in the authority that we have in Him. We serve our neighbor and we serve the community in the love of Jesus. But all of that flows from this place of intimacy that we have with God, this place in His courts, this place of the secret place, as the Scripture calls it. And it's such an apt description for me because it's secret, it's safe. It's a safe place. It's a place that is sheltered. Scripture speaks of a refuge, a place of refuge. And I see it, it's, you know, when we, that is the place where you and I, we come to God and we're vulnerable. That is a place of safety where you can share your deepest, your greatest fears, your deepest, regrets, disappointments. You can share your greatest joy and victory with God in that place. That is the place where we, whether it's a victory or a defeat or whatever it is, where we can be vulnerable before God. And we can share a heart in a very open way. And you know what? That's a place where you can share with God things that you will never share with any person. And it's important to know that even in marriage, although we have an intimacy with this, or greater intimacy with our marriage partner than with any other person, there's still a part of our heart that is reserved only for God. There's a heart, there's a part of who we are that no other person will ever access. It's reserved, it's holy, because it's that intimacy that is reserved between us and God. And so we come from that place, and then that is where we draw strength from. That is the place where we, as Bill Johnson says, that is our life source. A place where we tap into the power of God. A place where we refresh ourselves. As Scripture says there, that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So that is a place where we charge your batteries. You get, you can unpack all the burdens, cast off the cares upon Jesus. Get rid of yokes, receive healing from God. And then from that place of intimacy, then we can go and we can operate in what God has called us to do. You know, it's as if like, we know the Scripture about the armor of God, but it's like in that place that we are equipped, in that place of intimacy that we are charged up. And then, obviously, it's easy for us to think of it as a place and a time. And then, if you think of it as like a warrior that goes into this, or say for instance, the gladiator, okay, goes into this chamber there at the back, and they kind of prepare him and with all the armor and put all the stuff on, all the protection that he needs, and then there's this whole preparation. Nobody goes in there. It's like very, specific place. If you like a fighter that prepares for a fight, but then comes out into the arena to do what he needs to do. But in the spirit, it's not exactly like that. In the spirit, it is a state of being that we can operate from continually. So it's not often you hear of people that say, this morning I put on the armor of God. And that's great, guys. It's not a bad thing. It's good to pray Scripture. But that is a lifestyle that we live, to live with the armor of God. Because the helmet of salvation, if I don't put it on in the morning, doesn't mean I'm not saved, So it's we think of it as I have to go to a certain place and meet God there, and then I can experience this intimacy with God. And I believe it's healthy to do that from time to time, to make an appointment with God and to write it in your diary and to go meet God there down at the river. I've done that. It's amazing. then nothing interferes with that, you leave your phone at home and you make that precious time with God. But this, that place of intimacy is not only a quiet time. It is a state of being. It is that rest that God talks about, the Sabbath rest that He wants us to walk in and live in. So even when you're at work or doing whatever, you can operate from that place of intimacy. It's not something, oh dear, now I'm at work and now it's going tough and now can't really because that in that closet, the prayer closet is now at home. Now what do I do? You know, whatever the you know those little cubicles that they have in the bathroom, that those are amazing prayer closets. when it's serious. In any case, no, but so this is a place, this is a lifestyle, it's a place of rest that God has prepared for us. It's a place of peace that He has prepared for us. It is a refuge place that He has, that we can continually occupy. And often you'll find when we get stressed out, or we get afraid, or we get tense, it's, you know, the term that they use there is your soul is out of peace. And but all it takes is for you to say, okay, no, this is not good. It's not good for my soul to be like this. So let's take charge over the situation. Speak to your soul if you need to, like David does. He says, my soul. And he talks to his soul. But whatever has gotten you out of peace, just deal with that and step back into that place of intimacy. Step back into the place of peace. Step back into the place where you operate in the presence of God. So in that place of intimacy, that's where we find our strength. That's where we're intimate. That's where we can receive the affirmation of God. And maybe this is for somebody but I was just so convicted but encouraged, because often we filter the stuff that God says to us. And it might be because of the condition of our heart. But often, and I've experienced in my life, we only hear the commands, and we only hear maybe the rebukes. We hear the commander of the army, or we hear the correction. But I must misunderstand that the affirmation of God and the well done, not the ultimate well done that we will receive one day, but the well done and what you're doing well, that's also continually coming. And often we filter that out because we don't experience God in that way. And I've experienced that. And I was just so encouraged that we need to trust God to get rid of those filters, that we can really connect with the heart of God on a daily basis. Not only in this is what needs to happen, and wow, I must get sorted out now, you know, I can't afford to be distracted because of, you know, God is wanting me to perform now in this situation. But to also say, okay, Lord, but you know, what is your heart today? What is to connect with the heart of God beyond the command and beyond the instruction. And this is, I suppose, where our relationship with God goes beyond that of a general in the army, or because there's the place of intimacy that we come from, where He's the one that says, "Do not be afraid." Where He's the one that says, "I've gone before you." He's the one that says, I know what you're going through, and I've made sufficient provision for you." And that you will then, you know, having come from a military background, that you won't hear in that context. But He is the humble King. He is the humble King that has laid down His life for us. And He is the Father. He's not only the general, the commander of the host, but He's also our Father. So He's the one that says, "My son, don't get discouraged now. You're doing well. Don't get tired now. Don't give up on this. I'm pleased with you." That's a still small voice saying, "I'm well pleased." So let's trust God not to filter those out, to really receive the information of the Father. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These are God, you will not despise. Know that that place of brokenness before God is precious. It's precious to you. And that's also why we will reserve that deepest part of us, we reserve for our relationship. Because that is it's like a pearl that the scripture says, don't throw your pearl before swine. I'm not saying don't share anything with other people, but there's some of those that are reserved for God alone. A place of intimacy, a place of brokenness before Him. It says here, even we come with a broken spirit sometimes and say, Lord, this is me. I can be honest with you. You know where I'm at. I can be bold and honest before you now. You know the deepest part of me. Even before I can understand it, you know it already. It's so powerful, and it was still shared on the weekend. It wasn't in the last session, it was in the, I can't remember when it was, but she was sharing about husbands and wives, but also in our context of our relationship with the Father, and how we often ask the wrong questions, and we're often pursuing in the wrong way. And the scriptures that we ask, but we ask amiss. And she was going on about the scripture that says that we should pursue to know, or to know that we could glory in this, that we know and understand Him, the lover of our souls. In the same way that you know, as husbands, pursue that knowledge and understanding of their wives, we also pursue a knowledge and understanding of our Father God. And that happens in a place of intimacy where we go beyond the commander and the general, where we say, but Lord, I want to understand your heart. I want to know your heart. I want to when we see God doing something, when something happens in our lives and we don't understand it, instead of us getting upset and throwing our toys out the cot and throwing a tantrum, to really come humbly before God and say, Lord, I want to understand your heart, because I know you're good. I know your love and your goodness, you know, remains forever. So I want to understand how this happened and why it happened. By the way, the throwing out the cot thing, it's a figure of speech, but it's not. No, it's the truth. It's the weirdest thing. Why do they do that? Abigail, she just chucks everything out. She loves that little sheepy of hers and the little doll so much, but when she's upset like that, she just... And after a while, there's like this pile of stuff outside the car. There's nothing left inside. It's hilarious. Anyway, so that's for real, guys. Yeah. But often, you know, we do that. We don't understand something about God. We don't understand why things happen. But instead of pursuing the knowledge of God, we kind of make assumptions and we push away from God. So please, if you haven't listened to that, or if you weren't there for the soul session, that's such a powerful thing to get to grips with, because it shapes the way we approach God, and it gives us understanding of why we miss Him, why we miss God often, so that we would seek to know and understand. That when we come with this brokenness before God, it's like an offering. It's like a worship. So don't think you're macho if you withhold that from God. You don't think, no, I'm okay. Okay, so I don't think the ladies battle with this, maybe the guys. But this is worship unto God, and we come with that, with the deepest stuff. The stuff that we won't share with anybody else, the stuff that hurts when we share. It's worship unto God. It's a sweet smelling aroma. You will not despise it. He meets us where we are. He takes us from there. Let's just stand and we can pray around this. I'm just going to read that quote again. I might have to come back to this. Just maybe see this as an introduction. Jesus served with the heart of a king. So Jesus served, but He served with the heart of a king, but ruled with the heart of a servant. Royalty is our identity, and our assignment is servitude. Okay? And then intimacy with God is that life source. So when we come to God, it's a place of intimacy. When we operate towards people, we serve with the love of God. And before the powers of hell, we rule and reign with Christ. Amen. And we trust God for the wisdom to know where to operate in which of those. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge, God, that you love us so much, God. That you paid the price for us, that you gave your Son and you made that exchange at the cross, Lord, where you adopted us as sons again, Lord. We were so far from you, Father, that you came and you made us heirs to the throne, heirs to the inheritance that we have in Christ, co-heirs with Christ, Lord. And we thank you for that this morning, and I pray and I thank you for every person in this place. I thank you for us as a family, Lord, that we would operate from that place of our royalty into the Spirit, of our understanding of our identity in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the contentment that comes with that, Lord. A place where we realize that we cannot do anything to impress you anymore, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, right for every person in this place right now, Lord. And I just sense that some here that God wants to say, you cannot impress me with what you do. You cannot make me love you more. You cannot do tricks and then I'll love you more. God says, I love you and I've accepted you, and you are my son, you are my daughter, and you are royalty. You are part of my household of faith. You are part of our royal family in the Spirit, Lord. And we thank you for that this morning, Lord. And I just sense, Lord, there are so many of us that filter out your affirmation. And this morning, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for a softening of our hearts, God. We pray that you'd remove the hard crust that sometimes forms, Lord, when we get hurt, and when we get offended, and when we get... even in church, even amongst believers, we experience rejection and so many hurtful things. God, we thank you right this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your anointing to give us a heart of flesh again, and to soften our hearts, God. I pray for every person in this place. I thank you, Lord, for a capacity, Lord, to receive the affirmation of the Father. To receive the word that says, I'm well pleased with you. To receive the word that says, carry on. Do not give up. Be strong and be very courageous, because I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I have gone before you. And I just speak that over every one of us here and those that aren't here, our family. I thank you, Lord, for a strength, Lord. I thank you for that rootedness in Christ. I thank you, Lord, for that incredible stability, Lord, that we are founded on the rock that is Jesus Christ, and we will not be shaken, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the place of contentment, that place of peace, Lord, where we operate from, the Sabbath rest of our identity in you, God, as heirs, Lord, as victorious, God, in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, this morning we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to rule and to reign, Lord. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you that in a place of intimacy, we can get rid of every fear, Lord. We can lay down every anxiety and everything that binds us up, Lord. And that we then step out into the authority that you have called us to step into, God. And I thank you this morning, Lord, that as we lay down fear, I thank you right now, Lord, for people to step into their place of authority, Lord, in Jesus' name, to rule with Christ in heavenly places. I thank you for a boldness to be released upon us, God, as a family, Lord, that with meekness we will operate, we will take our place in the Spirit in this community, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we would not be afraid, that we will not have to not be apologetic, Lord, but we will step into the place that you have prepared for us in the Spirit, God. I thank you for the place of meekness, God. I thank you for wisdom, God, as we walk in your ways, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, ultimately, Lord, you empower us by the love of God that you've poured into our hearts, God, that to serve one another, to serve our community, to serve others with the love of Jesus, God. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your example, Lord Jesus. Now, and I thank you for a release this morning that as we esteem others higher, Lord, as we go out, Lord, even amongst ourselves and amongst our family, but amongst our colleagues, Lord, that we would know that I've been called to serve you. I've been called to serve my neighbor that lives next door. I've been called to serve that guy at work that I don't get on with. I thank you, Lord, that as we turn our hearts around, God, that you give us the grace, Lord, you to walk in the love of Jesus towards every person around us, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, I sense even this week, Lord, I sense, God, you want to turn hearts around, and we're going to be astounded at the response when we serve others in the love of Jesus. I sense they're going to be specific divine appointments for some people here. And you're going to see how God turns someone's heart that it was completely against you. You're going to turn their heart completely around as you just change your attitude and you want to just serve them in the love of Jesus, God. And we thank you for that, God. And we thank you for That you show us what you see, Father. And that we would operate from that point of love in the name of Jesus. Lord, we commit this to you, Father. We thank you for souls, God. We thank you, Lord, as we serve our community. Lord, that you would add daily those who are being saved, Lord. That you would add those, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, as we serve in love. We thank you for salvation, Lord. We thank you that you unblock the wellsprings of salvation in this community in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for wellsprings to burst forth again, rivers of living water to flow, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that many will drink from those rivers of living water, God. I thank you that we can lead them to the water, Father, because we know it's there, because we know it's life to all who receive it in the name of Jesus, God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.